You're listening to KJOL. This is Jackson Unpacked, our weekly show featuring reporting and interviews on local news, music, and culture. I'm News Director Kyle Mackey. Coming up on today's show, we hear from the new leadership of both the Teton County Democrats and Republicans.
I'm pretty sure that in 2022, we are going to give the people of Teton County a good choice.
Plus, a conversation with Colorado college student Anya Steinberg, one of the grand prize winners of the 2021 NPR Student Podcast Challenge.
It still feels so unreal to me.
We'll also hear the winning 8-minute podcast Steinberg created about grappling with the surprise identity of her biological sperm donor father. But first, Americans now have more access than ever to multiple coronavirus vaccines that have been deemed safe and effective by the Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The question is, will enough people take them in order to end the pandemic? We turn now to a local look at vaccine hesitancy.
The moment that many Americans have waited for more than a year is finally here. COVID-19 vaccines are now available to everyone age 16 and older in all 50 states. But some states have populations that are more hesitant than others to take the vaccine, and Wyoming tops the list. KJOL's Kyle Mackey reports.
The early demand for COVID-19 vaccines in Teton County was higher than the number of shots available. Somewhere along the way, though, the county started struggling to administer all of the doses it has in stock.
This is it. We're at a tipping point. I've said this all week. We can go in one direction or another.
Jody Pond is director of the Teton County Department of Health. Speaking during the last COVID-19 community update on April 16th, she said there was a significant slowdown in vaccine bookings over spring break. The department even canceled one day of shots in early April because demand was so low. Pond also says the county is getting a lot of same-day cancellations, which risks spoiling perishable doses of the vaccine.
It's hard because we pull vaccine out of the freezer in the morning, and so we scramble in the afternoon to make sure that that vaccine gets used.
Teton County has still vaccinated a larger percentage of its residents than any other county in Wyoming, about 40% as of press time, according to the Wyoming Department of Health. However, new statistical modeling from the federal government shows that all Wyoming counties fall within the top 1% of vaccine hesitancy in the U.S. Morgan Hughes has been reporting on the new estimates for the Casper Star Tribune.
11 counties in Wyoming are estimated to be more hesitant than any other place in the nation, with 32% of residents in those counties estimated to be hesitant to take the vaccine.
Those very hesitant counties are mostly located across central and eastern Wyoming, but they include some of the state's largest cities, like Casper and Gillette. Teton County also isn't too far behind, with 29% of its residents estimated to be hesitant. The Wyoming figures track with growing evidence that states with a larger share of Trump voters are more likely to have greater vaccine hesitancy. But Hughes has been looking deeper into federal and state surveys to find out what's behind the cowboy state's skepticism.
The top reasons people gave for being hesitant toward the vaccine in Wyoming really dealt with concerns over side effects and concerns about safety. So it's not necessarily that, you know, there's this big proportion of people in Wyoming who are just really adamantly resistant toward the vaccine. It's just people have a lot of questions.
One way Teton County is trying to answer those questions is through a COVID-19 vaccine hotline at 307-732-8628. Here's County Health Director Pond again.
If you have questions and you aren't quite sure you want to get vaccinated, we have our COVID vaccine line where you can talk to a nurse. A nurse will call you back and you can ask any questions you like.
At the same time, other local leaders, like former CEO of St. John's Health, Dr. Paul Beaupre, are trying more direct methods to persuade the vaccine hesitant.
I can tell you I'm going department by department in the hospital and encouraging those people that have had some hesitancy about this to reconsider and get vaccinated. And it is our plan at St. John's that as soon as this comes off of experimental use, which I think will happen within the next couple months, we will mandate vaccination at St. John's.
Beaupre says there's case law that supports employers who want to require workers to get the vaccine. But he's also encouraging county residents to persuade folks in their networks the old-fashioned way.
Please, please, please speak to your neighbors, speak to your friends, have conversations around the table now about the need for all of us to get vaccinated.
With use of the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine on pause as of press time, there are concerns that the review will only magnify existing doubts. But local officials, including County Health Officer Dr. Travis Riddell, say this is exactly how the process is supposed to work.
I think we're doing the right thing by pausing use of the vaccine as this situation is fully investigated. However, if what we know today is truly the whole story about this vaccine, this is an extremely rare side effect on the order of less than 1 in 1 million.
At that rate, Riddell says Teton County would have to vaccinate its entire population 49 times over in order to see one case of the rare blood clot disorder. A decision on the future of the J&J vaccine in the U.S. is expected to come as soon as Friday. Kyle Mackey, K-12 News. Both major political parties in Teton County elected new leadership earlier this year. Maggie Hunt will helm the Teton Democrats, the party that currently dominates local elected positions. Meanwhile, Mary Martin will lead the Teton Republican Party, which has recently diminished in power locally but has strengthened its grip statewide. KHOL's Will Waukee caught up with both new leaders to talk about their strategies as campaigns for the 2022 midterms start to take shape.
As the saying goes in Jackson, you're just a 30-minute drive from Wyoming. Teton County has long been thought of as a social and political island, separated from the economies and politics of the rest of the state. Mary Martin has lived in Teton County since 1975, and she understands the joke well.
We are an enigma in Wyoming. Some communities haven't had a new person move into them for a very long time. And in Jackson, about a third of our population is new every 2 to 3 years.
Those trends have also changed the local political composition rather quickly. The number of registered Democrats in Teton County overtook the number of registered Republicans in October of 2020, and that gap continues to widen, according to the Wyoming Department of State. Martin, who was recently elected as the new chair of the Teton County GOP, says she's been disappointed by the changing politics of the area.
And really at the local level, I'm not going to be able to do much more than to pray that it's going to take divine intervention to help us.
More than 67% of Teton County residents voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the 2020 presidential election, and left-leaning candidates also swept town council and county commission seats. The rest of the state, however, pushed further right, with the GOP picking up more state house seats across Wyoming. Maggie Hunt was recently elected chair of the Teton County Democratic Party, and she says she was disappointed by those results.
I mean, I was aware that the state was moving further right in terms of elected statewide elected officials, and I just couldn't believe my eyes what was happening in Cheyenne.
Hunt has been volunteering with the local Democratic Party since 1999. She says she hopes to turn the funding and enthusiasm for progressive issues in Teton County into policymaking in Cheyenne. She also wants more regular participation, which can be a challenge given the lack of competitive races here.
Our voting record here is solidly Democratic, and I think that people kind of look at the issues on the state level and think, well, we can't do anything about it. And I would like to see at least people try to do something about it.
Martin faces the opposite challenge of trying to motivate people to think locally rather than resting on their laurels in Cheyenne. But just like the Dems, Republicans also want to motivate young people who share their values to get into leadership.
I think the Republicans just kind of lost their unity somehow. There are those in my age group that are just kind of, I'm tired, I'm going to sit back and let some younger people do it. The younger folks that come in, I think, tend to go towards more of the Democratic mainstream, what the media is telling them.
Martin ran an unsuccessful campaign herself for county commissioner 4 years ago and also worked on several failed campaigns in 2020. Still, she says the GOP has been honing a message that she believes will appeal to more people in 2022.
We have three pillars here at the Teton County Republican, that party that we've adopted in the 2020, and those are fiscal responsibility and private sector solutions, The second one is conservation and responsible stewardship. And our third one is respect and compassion for individual freedoms.
Martin adds that she's an avid supporter of law enforcement and responsible taxation. For Hunt and the Democrats, they hope to find ways to improve local healthcare and education systems.
I think taxes are basically a luxury that, you know, if you make enough money to be taxed, you should be taxed, because I think we need to raise all boats and we need to have a community that's healthy and well-educated.
Hunt also says she's an avid supporter of Planned Parenthood, ranked choice voting, and increasing the local minimum wage. And she's hoping that in-person events over the coming months sponsored by the local Democratic Party will create more enthusiasm and engagement in the community.
I'd like to see us have a volunteer day at Habitat. I'd like to see us volunteer at Whole Food Rescue and just kind of really kind of walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Martin also likes to showcase her values by working with local families. She actually used to be a Democrat before switching in the 1970s and never looking back. Now she's a full-blown Republican, and she believes her party should still be in power nationally.
I believe Trump won the election. We won. We did well.
That claim did not hold up in courts across the country, and several GOP leaders, including Congresswoman Liz Cheney, have accepted Biden's victory. Martin was one of three Teton County Republican Party members who voted against censuring Cheney for her impeachment vote against former President Donald Trump. But she says she still believes Cheney was in the wrong.
I had intended to censure Liz Cheney when I went, and I listened to her presentation to our party. I think she was double speaking us. President Trump has constitutional rights just like she does. I don't think all the facts were out.
Martin also says she'll consider supporting another candidate for Wyoming's sole congressional seat in the 2022 primary. Hunt says she's not sure if the Democrats will support people changing parties to support a more moderate candidate, as some locals have done in the past. But either way, she says she thinks it's going to be a long shot to unseat a member of national GOP leadership.
My totally personal belief is that no one's going to be able to beat Liz Cheney, Republican or Democrat.
Several local seats will be up for re-election in 2022 as well. And both the Teton County Republican and Democratic parties will be using an injection of new leadership to try and gain more power. Will Walkie, KHOL News.
Just joining us, you're listening to Jackson Unpacked on KHOL. I'm News Director Kyle Mackey, and this is our weekly show featuring reporting and interviews on local and regional news, music, and culture. Jackson Unpacked airs Wednesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Fridays and Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Or you can catch up on all of the episodes anytime on our website, 891KHOL.org. Coming up next, Colorado college student Anya Steinberg is one of two grand prize college winners of this year's NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Steinberg recently spoke to news director Gavin Dahl of KVNF in Paonia, Colorado, about her experience producing a deeply personal story. And we're excited to bring both her interview and the winning podcast to KHOL listeners through the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Collaborative.
My first guest is Anya Steinberg, a student at Colorado College, who is now a national champion, at least in the eyes of NPR. Thanks for joining me, Anya.
Hi, great to be here.
So we're going to play your podcast for our listeners in just a moment and then talk about it a bit. Before we do, let me just ask you about yourself. What are you studying at Colorado College and when do you graduate?
I'm actually a senior right now, so I'm coming up on the end of college, and I study environmental science and race and ethnic studies. I have a double major.
Wow. And so this podcast, He's Just 23 Chromosomes, is not your first foray into the audio storytelling genre. Can you describe the very cool series you're part of called New Narratives?
Yeah. So I basically am the one woman show at New Narratives. I do this podcast for an organization based out of Minneapolis, and it's called Asian American Organizing Project. And the way I like to describe New Narratives is it's dispatches from Minnesota that highlight the stories of Asian America. So basically just all about Asians.
How did you hear about the NPR Student Podcast Challenge, and what were your expectations when you submitted your story?
My friend's mom texted it to him, and then he sent it to me because he wasn't interested in doing it. But that turned out to be, like, as you probably know, the craziest experience of my lifetime now. My expectations going in were nothing. I didn't think that I was going to win. I thought maybe if I like did a good job, I would get honorable mention, because I was like, oh, I've been podcasting for a while now. Like, at least I know how to use the equipment and maybe I'll do better than some other people. But I did not expect at all to win.
NPR host Michelle Martin called your piece, quote, emotionally sophisticated, fair-minded, and exemplifying good journalistic values, adding, quote, you showed your openness and a willingness to be interested in other people's point of view. NPR host Felix Contreras said, quote, you know what I liked about He's Just 23 Chromosomes? The emotions are complicated, very, very complicated, and you navigated it so well. So that's some super high praise from respected radio journalists. Do you just kind of take it all in stride, or does it still feel a little crazy?
No, even when you were reading that, my hands like started to sweat. It still feels so unreal to me. And like, what an amazing opportunity to hear actual feedback from people in the industry.
And don't you feel like your fellow grand prize winner and all those honorable mentions, that those people should all kind of get over the imposter syndrome and just accept that you're talented and people want to hear you?
Yeah, I hope that everyone else also gets the chance to actually gain some confidence and believe in themselves. And if this is something they want to pursue it, because that's the process I'm trying to go through now, too.
That's Anya Steinberg, a senior at Colorado College. We're going to talk more. But first, here is her grand prize winning story. I've bleeped the F-bombs, but we should still just warn that some sensitive listeners and children are advised to tune out for the next 8 minutes. Here it is with original music by Daniel Archibald, another Colorado College student. This is He's Just 23 Chromosomes by Anya Steinberg.
Hi, I'm Anya. And today, I'm going to tell you the story of an immaculate conception. It didn't happen in the Bible. It happened on my mom's lunch break, in a sterile room. What my mom likes to say about it is this.
I f***ed a syringe, and then I had two kids.
Me and my younger brother, Ari, were products of artificial insemination. We're from the same donor, who my mom and dad picked out online.
There was only one CryoBank in all of Minnesota. We went to them and there were no Korean donors. I went back and
why
called.
Why did you want a Korean donor specifically?
Well, because dad was Korean.
You couldn't just have any old Asian.
No, we weren't going to have. No.
They ended up going through a CryoBank in California where they chose donor 3046. He was a medical student at Stanford with good grades, or so I thought.
And I swear to God, I thought we picked the doctor.
Last year was the first time I tried finding my sperm dad in the CryoBank's database. I typed 3046 into the search bar and immediately had to call my mom.
And we picked the jazz musician. And then I remember when you guys said that to me, you and your brother, that we decided to go with the artist. It was like, well, you're an artist and you're Korean and he's an artist. That'd be cool.
The CryoBank gives limited information that you can access for free. Reading through his files, my mind was spinning. My brain couldn't keep up with my eyes. I was like, 165 pounds, medium tan skin, born in Seoul, Korea. Plays trumpet. Outgoing. Dreams of directing a major motion picture. I was shook. I had this identity crisis. Like, who am I? My dad was supposed to be this straight-laced, studious guy, captivated by the intricate systems that make up the human body. And that made sense, because I liked systems too, just bigger ones. I was on track to become an ecologist. I was contemplating PhD programs and research conferences. But all of a sudden, I was like, my dad isn't a doctor. My dad is creative. It's in my genes to be creative. And maybe that's why I'm sitting here today, making this podcast instead of applying to grad school. Our parents got divorced when I was in third grade and Ari was in kindergarten. At this point, we didn't know we were sperm donor kids. We had a tumultuous relationship with our dad. He didn't always treat us well, like he wasn't the most stand-up guy. But to us, he was still our dad. So despite the hard times, we kept trying to make it work. And that's the way our dad wanted it.
I had this little file and I thought, oh gee, they'll become 21 and they'll have all these questions. And I thought, oh, I'll have the record. But then your dad burned all the records. It was super important to me that at some point we have to tell these kids. Now, your dad never wanted to. If he could keep it a secret from you guys forever, then you would forever love and adore him as dad, like all-encompassing dad.
Maybe our dad was right to want to keep the truth from us, because when our mom told us, something broke. When Ari found out about Donor Dad, he said he was relieved.
Like, my perception just changed from, you know, like, I felt like since I was his son, I owed him something. But, you know, finding out that you're not really related to this dude, I just felt like that was a relief off my shoulders, because I could just be like, all right, f*** this guy. But, yeah, I just feel like it just, you know, gave me relief because it was kind of like my exit ticket.
Sometimes I wonder if, when the truth was revealed, our dad felt relieved too. The charade was up. The blood that was the bond that held us together dissolved. Ari and I started making excuses to ignore the custody schedule, and our dad started making excuses to skip our school conferences and orchestra concerts. Until one day we just didn't know each other anymore. Every other year or so now, he'll call on my birthday and leave a message.
I was calling to wish you a happy birthday. I called last night, but I didn't hear back from you. I'll call you here and I'm like, when I think you're out of school. Okay, bye.
I only call back sometimes. I'd like to say I'm the headstrong one, and that, eventually, I decided to be super fulfilled and independent without a father. But that's Ari.
I'm not looking for a dad in general.
You're not on the market for
dads.
No,
I'm not. It's not. The dad market is closed. Stocks are trending down. Because, you know, I got me, so that's all I really need.
Ari isn't even curious about who Sperm Dad is.
I'm not that into, like, finding out.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm not really looking for, like, a father figure and some random stranger that, you know, just nutted into a cup.
But I am obsessed. Sperm Dad is my glossy fantasy. Thinking about him, it's the kind of thing where I find myself melting holes in my ceiling with my eyes, just completely lost in my head. I imagine his voice would sound deep, oaky and reassuring. He wouldn't be like those serious Koreans. He would laugh and laugh, especially at what I said. He would teach me Korean and tell me all about why our family crossed the Pacific from Seoul to California. These Sperm Dad fantasies have a darker side, though. In all of the ways my dad failed me, Sperm Dad could too. And when that darker side creeps in, I feel... There's this Korean word, han. It has no direct translation in English. The best I can say about it is that it's this swirling mix of deep sorrow, resentment, grief, regret, and anger that some say lives inside every Korean. It's an echo of the traumas Koreans have experienced, from Japanese occupation to American imperialism and war. Apparently, it runs through our veins. It's written in the helixes of our DNA. Han has its tendrils wrapped around the Korean heart. Han is the only Korean word I know, which is fitting, because the only Koreanness I have lives in a man I've never met. Han is why I haven't called the cryobank yet, to see if I could reach out. I realize I don't even know if he's alive. And even if he is, it's possible the records are sealed, which means that if I wanted to meet him, I would tell the cryobank and then they would contact him and ask if he wanted to talk to me. If he said no, case closed. I would never get to know who he is, which seems so unfair. I wish I could just run into him on the street and get in his face, like waving my hands around shouting, hey, here's what I am. Don't you want to know that I was Earth Club president in high school? Don't you want to know that I used to pee my pants a little bit every time I laughed? Don't you want to know that I've read Harry Potter 14 times? Like a father, I wonder if he could love me despite the fact that I could be a real know-it-all growing up. Despite the time when I was 8 and I got mad and kicked my brother in the face. I've cheated on a test. I drank underage. I'm a nervous driver and once I crashed my car and totaled it. I wonder if he could forgive me. My mom miscarried a child before me, a girl, and she miscarried my little brother's twin. Sperm Dad has lost two kids he didn't even know he had. I wonder if he would mourn too. I'm scared the answer to everything will be no, but for the sake of this story, I'm gonna be brave.
Thank you for calling California Cryobank. Generate Life Sciences Company. If you are a new or existing donor sperm client, press 1.
Thanks for listening. This podcast was written and produced by me, Anya Steinberg. Music was originally composed by my friend, Dan Archibald.
You just heard the NPR Student Podcast Challenge College Edition grand prize winner, He's Just 23 Chromosomes, by Anya Steinberg. You've left me, and I'm sure many other listeners, wanting more. Talk about that choice to end it how you did.
I think I ended it there because that's really where the story ends for now. I told it right up until the present moment, and I'm actually in the process of getting in contact with my sperm donor dad, so we'll see how that goes. I reached out to the cryobank and they said that because his records are closed, I can't directly know who he is. But if he says that he's interested in talking to me, then maybe someday I will know. Yeah.
Was it scary to put yourself out there like this? I mean, knowing so many strangers, but also, of course, friends and family would hear this very personal story.
I actually didn't think about it at all.
Right. If you don't win, who will ever know?
Yeah, exactly. And then like when I was named a finalist and then when I won, people started actually listening to it. People in my class, my professor, who's my advisor, just a bunch of people that I didn't expect to hear such personal stories and also sometimes explicit information about my family. Yeah. So it's been something that on the back end, I've kind of had to be like, oh yeah, I actually did tell the entire world that, and now it's going to be not only something that everyone listens to, but is broadcast on the radio now.
So you graduate in a few months, and then what's next for you?
Great question. I'm not totally sure what's next for me. I'm right now planning on taking the summer to like work at a summer camp and have fun for once. And then after that, I'm hoping to get a job at a radio station or anywhere journalism.
Anya Steinberg, senior at Colorado College, one of two grand prize winners of NPR's Student Podcast Challenge, College Edition. I can't wait to hear what you do next. Thanks for joining me, Anya.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's it for today on Jackson Unpacked. Original music for the show is by the local band Strumbucket. Tune in for Jackson Unpacked every week, Wednesday mornings at 7:30 a.m. and Fridays and Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Or catch up on all of our past episodes now at 891khol.org. I'm Kyle Mackey, and this is KHOL Jackson.